Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Hey, we're so glad you've joined us today because Rick is bringing his series, Transformed, to a close. Now, together, we're going to dive into God's Word and discover powerful principles that can truly change our lives from the inside out, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, and vocationally. You'll get to experience how God's truth brings real transformation to every part of your life. So let's jump right in and join Rick for the final part of a message called Facing Giants in Life and Work.
Now, why had everybody given up? Why had they all gotten so discouraged from this one giant? The answer is they were listening to the wrong voice. They were listening to this guy every single day. Look at the next verse, verse 16. For 40 days, twice a day, morning and evening, the Philistine giant loudly berated the Israelite army. Well, it's no wonder they got discouraged. They're listening to this guy day after day after day after day. Question, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to who says it can't be done? Who is poo-pooing your dream, putting down your dream, saying it won't ever happen, forget it? Who is telling you that you're not the person to do it? You know, if you listen to negative people long enough, you know what happens? You get negative because it's highly contagious. Maybe one of the best things you should do is stop listening to talk radio. Because it is negative, 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 negative. And you know what? If you listen to it negative, you know what you're going to become? A negative, bitter person. And if you listen to people who are against every day of your life, guess what? You end up being against everything. Negativity is contagious, and so is fear, and so is discouragement. And if you listen to somebody who said, America's going to hell in a handbasket day after day after day, pretty soon you start acting like it. Now, sometimes you just need a fresh voice. You need a kid from the village with fresh eyes. Go, this guy's nothing. We can take him down. It's a slam dunk. Look in the next verse, verses 23 and 24. As David talked with his brothers on the front line, he saw Goliath start shouting his usual threats to Israel's army. And when the army heard Goliath, they all ran away in terror. They all ran away. Let me give you some advice. Don't hang out with fearful people. Don't hang out with fearful people. Because if you do, you will become fearful. If you hang out with cowards, you become a coward. You hang out with bitter people, you become bitter. You hang out with angry people, you become angry. You hang out with negative people, you become negative. It's highly contagious. The first barrier to your dream is delay. Somebody's trying to hold you back. But the second barrier to your dream, the second dream buster, is discouragement because everybody around you is telling you that life sucks and it can't be done. And they're wrong. They're wrong. Now, there's a third dream buster, and I call it the giant of disapproval. And David had to handle this one, is he had to be willing to face the disapproval of people around him in order to go after his dream, and you will too. Now, here's the problem. The reason why most people don't ever go after their dream is they are afraid of disapproval. They are afraid of rejection. In this case, David's own brother questioned his motives. David's own brother questioned his motives and disapproved of David even going after the giant. We want everybody to like us. I mean, we really do. We want everybody to approve of everything we do. But if you go after God's dream for your life, I'm guaranteeing you this. There will be naysayers. There will be critics. There will be misunderstanding. There will be attacks. There will be people who are judging you for what you do because they don't get it. And that is the disapproval giant. In this case, David's own brother questions David's motivation, and he treats his younger brother with disdain and disgust, and he demeans him, and he disregards him, and he belittles him. In verse 28 and 29, notice this conversation between the older brother and the younger brother. And David's there on the front line, and he asks the soldiers, what's the reward for killing this Philistine and ending this disgraceful abuse? He said, what's the reward? Now, when David's older brother heard David and even asked this question, he burned with anger at David, and he said, now, listen to this conversation and see if you can identify with it. David's older brother says, why are you here anyway? Why aren't you taking care of your scrawny little flock of sheep, you cocky little brat? I know how conceited you are. And David, the younger brother, goes, now what have I done? Can I even ask a question? Do any of you vaguely relate to this conversation? Yeah, it's called sibling rivalry. And it's happened in every single family. Because the older brother and the younger brother, the people closest to you can't see what you see. They can't imagine you accomplishing something that they've never imagined themselves. They think they know who you are, but they don't know you like God knows you. And so they come out with this demeaning, demoralizing disapproval. You hear the family dynamics going on here. The sad truth is this. Sometimes it is your own family that doesn't want you to accomplish God's dream. It may be envy. It may be jealousy. It may be they think they know you better than you do and they know your weaknesses, but they don't know God's strength. It may be that they would be embarrassed. It may be that they would resent you being successful and it would make them look bad. I don't know really what it is, but sibling rivalry often leads to resentment. Did you know that even Jesus had to deal with this? You know, Jesus was born of a virgin. Mary and Joseph hadn't had sex because God was the father of Jesus. But the Bible tells us very clearly that after Jesus was born, later on, Joseph and Mary had many kids. In fact, we're given their names in the Bible. In fact, Mary and the kids followed Jesus around during his ministry. Now, what is interesting is that none of Jesus' half-brothers or sisters accepted him as Lord and Savior until after the resurrection. And then they all became believers. Because when your brother is died on the cross, and then 3 days later he's walking around talking to you, that would make me a believer. But I have to, you know, show a little grace to these guys because I wouldn't want to believe in my brother either. You know, if my brother said, by the way, I'm God, yeah, you and who else? Okay. How would you like to have Jesus as your old brother, Mr. Perfect? I mean, there's noise going on, and the mother, mom, walks in, and Mary goes, what's going on in here, kids? Well, Jesus did it. No, you guys know he didn't do it. Mom, he lied. Jesus never lies. But mom, how would you like to have a brother who was always right? That would be hard growing up in that family, okay? And so I can see every reason why they would not accept him as the Messiah until after his death and resurrection. But even Jesus had to deal with the sibling rivalry. Because a brother or a sister will often say, who do you think you are when you have a dream? I'll never forget when this church many years ago bought this piece of land, 120 acres. And Saddleback was a much smaller church at the time. And the word got out of the community that this little church was going to go buy 120 acres in Orange County. And said, yeah, who else? And the word got out around this community. Those people over there at Saddleback Church, who do they think they are? And I remember having to address it in a service, and I had to stand up and say, folks, you've heard this rumor going around. People saying, who do those people think they are? I mean, what kind of, they think they're special or something? And I had to say, that's not the question. That's the wrong question. The question is not, who do we think we are? The question is, who do we think God is? You let the size of your God determine the size of your goal. And if you have a big God, you better have some big goals, because God doesn't give you piddly dreams. If a dream is from God, how do you know if your dream's from God? It's so big, you're bound to fail unless God bails you out. The dream will be so big, you are guaranteed failure unless you totally depend on God to see it happen. It's just outrageously enormous. It's a big dream from a big God. The wrong question. The right question is, who do we think God is? Let the size of your God determine the size of your goal. Now listen, when God gives you a dream, and it's a dream that other people are afraid to attempt, or afraid to accomplish, or afraid to even step out and try, if you take that dream and you go for it, you will be misjudged, you will be maligned, you will be misinterpreted, and you will be misunderstood. That is the giant of disapproval. And you have to decide what matters more to you, the approval of other people or the approval of God. I decided a long time ago that the approval of God is more important to me than the approval of other people. And it's not my job, it's none of my business what you think of me. It is my business what God thinks of me. And that's the issue of disappointment. Now, there's one other dream buster. Oh, by the way, David did find out what the reward would be. Did you know what the reward would be for killing Goliath? It was three things. Number one, the king would give you great wealth. Number two, you got to marry the king's daughter. And number three, this was the best of all, you were exempt from taxes the rest of your life. Hello, shoot, I would have gone after, you know, Goliath for that one. No taxes for the rest of my life? Yeah, well, that was the reward. But then there's the fourth dream buster that David had to face even before he faced Goliath, and it is the giant of doubt. First, there is delay. Then there's discouragement. Then there's disapproval. And then there's doubt. Am I capable for this? Am I up to the task for this? Can I actually do what God is asking me to do? And then there are people all around you who tell you you can't. And in David's case, the expert doubted his ability. Now, there was nobody who was a greater expert on war than King Saul, because Saul had been in battle his entire life. And when Saul, King Saul, hears that this little kid is willing to take on the giant who's paralyzed the nation, he invites David to come see him at the palace. So David goes to see King Saul, and here's the conversation, verse 32 and 33. David says to the king, "Don't worry about a thing, king." David told the king, "I'll fight this Philistine." And by the way, let me just stop right here. Confidence in God is often misinterpreted as cockiness by other people. A lot of people might think a person is cocky when they're just a person of faith. It's not that they think that they can do it, it's that they know God can do it. That's confidence in God, not cockiness. David says, "Don't worry about a thing, king. I'll fight this Philistine." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can go against this Philistine. You're only a boy, and he's been a professional warrior all his life." Now that expert is saying, "You can't do it." And there's enough to make you start doubting yourself. I will say it about experts that I said about conventional wisdom. The experts are often wrong. They're often wrong. I remember when I'm a Californian, but I went to seminary in Texas. And when I went to seminary in Texas, while I was there, God gave me a dream of moving to Southern California, to a city I'd never been in, and to start a church with no money, no members, no building, and no support, and I'd never been a senior pastor. And so I called up an expert on starting churches in Texas. His name was Gene. And I called him up and I said, "Hey, I'm thinking about graduating, going to Southern California, starting a church with no money, no members, no building, no support, and I've never been a senior pastor. What do you think?" And this Gene said, expert said, "That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard." He said, "Rick, if you do that, you will never be heard from again." Hmm. 20 years later, he called me back. He said, "That was the dumbest advice I ever gave in my life. I was dead wrong on that." Okay? Now, I remember when I wrote Purpose-Driven Life, I got a letter from the editor. I framed it. It said, this book will never work. Nobody's going to read 40 chapters. The experts are often very wrong. Very, very wrong. So, there's this doubt that comes. Now, how do you defeat these giants that are keeping you from being the man God wants you to be? How do you defeat these fears that are keeping you from being the woman God wants you to be? To be a person of great faith with a great dream and a great life work. How do you overcome those giants? You do the very things that David did. Quickly, let me just give them to you. The four things that David did to defeat these giants before he gets to Goliath. Number one, I remember how God has helped me in the past. That's the first thing you do to face the giants and to fulfill your dream. Remember how God has helped me in the past. This is a confidence builder. When I recall, when I recollect, when I remember ways that God has helped me in the past, it gives me confidence for the future. I say, remember those times I thought I wasn't going to make it, but I did. And remember that time I thought it was the end, but it wasn't. And remember I thought I was at the bottom and I was never going to climb out, but I did. And remember when I thought I was all alone, but I wasn't. And you remember how God has helped you in little times and realize he's going to help me in big times in the future, because God never changes. God doesn't love you one day and not another day. And if he helped you in the past in little ways, he will willingly help you in the future in big ways. You remember how God has helped you in the past. This is what David did, verse 36. David says, when everybody tells him it can't be done, he says, you know, in protecting my sheep as a shepherd, I've killed both a lion and a bear. And the Lord who delivered me from the teeth of that lion and the claws of that bear will surely now deliver me from this Philistine too. That's confidence. I remember how God's helped me in the past. Number two, I use the tools that God has given me now. I use the tools that God has given me now. I don't wait for something I don't have. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough connections. I don't have enough opportunities. I don't have this or I don't have that. No, you use the tools you've got right now. Now, some people are just waiting for something to happen. You don't wait for your ship to come in. You swim out to it. Because if you wait for it to come into the harbor, you're going to wait a long, long time. You use the tools God has given me now. Now, David goes to see Saul, and Saul says, well, if you're going to fight this guy, you may as well use my armor. How ridiculous is that? David is a short, small boy. Saul is a tall, big, grown man. To take his armor and put it on David, his hands probably didn't even show through it. It would be comical. And David says this, verse 38 to 40, then Saul dressed David in his own armor. But David said, if I can't go out in these, he said, I can't go out in these because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Instead, he chose 5 smooth stones for his sling. He goes, this is what I'm used to. I know how to use a slingshot. I don't need your armor. I'm going to just do this. Now, let me just say this. When you start going after your dream that God has given you, some people are going to oppose you on it. They're going to be opposition. But other people say, oh yeah, go ahead and go after your dream, but do it my way. And they're going to try to convince you to do it their way, but you're not them and it's going to fail. I see this Saul's armor syndrome in businesses everywhere. Well, they're doing it that way, so we should do it that way. Well, not necessarily. Because God doesn't create clones. God made you to be you. And God's going to use you to fulfill the dream he has for you. Your way, not the way somebody else did it. And if you try to do it the way somebody else did it, you are bound to fail. It's like trying to wear Saul's armor. You can't wear it because you're not Saul. You just need to use the tools you got. He had a slingshot, so he picks up some stones. And he's going to go after it. Often people will try to load some things on you that are just too heavy for you, and you're not going to fulfill your dream that way. I love this verse in Ecclesiastes 11. Look up here on the screen. Verse 4 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. How many of you agree with that verse? Yeah. If you wait for perfect conditions, you're never going to get started on your dream. Someday I'll, one of these, no, today's the day. We're ending 50 days of transformation. This is the day to start the new dream. This is the day to go after it. And when everybody else is saying, you can't do it, discouragement. And when you're full of doubt, you're going to trust God. And when there's been a delay and people have held you back, and when people disapprove, you just say, sorry, I've got to do what God's asking me to do. Number three, the third thing he did is ignore the dream busters. You must ignore the dream busters in your life. Now, it is interesting to me that as David's going to take on a giant that everybody else is scared to death to take on, he didn't get any encouragement from anybody. Not a single word of encouragement as he's going out on this show. His dad didn't encourage him. His mom didn't encourage him. His brothers didn't encourage him. The army, the soldiers who are scared to death, didn't encourage him. The king, whose reputation is on the line, didn't encourage him. Nobody gave David any encouragement. What did he do? He had to encourage himself in the Lord. Look at the next verse. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. When others were speaking against him, David, read it with me, encouraged himself in the Lord. Circle, in the Lord. Do you do that? Do you encourage yourself in the Lord? Now, this is so important. If you're going to go after your dream, you're going to have to learn how to encourage yourself, because sometimes nobody else is going to encourage you. And you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, this is very, very different from simply having a positive mental attitude. No, this is far more deep. When you encourage yourself in the Lord, there is a bedrock trust in God's faith, God's grace, God's provision, God's security, God's kindness, God's power. You're trusting in God. It's not just a positive mental attitude. Now, I'm not against positive thinking. I mean, considering the alternative, I think you ought to be a positive thinker, because the alternative is negative thinking, and that's worse. So between negative and positive thinking, you ought to be a positive thinker. But friends, there are some problems in your life that are so significant and some giants so big, all the positive thinking in the world isn't going to make a difference at all. The sun will come out tomorrow, have a nice day, is just pretty shallow when you're facing the deepest, darkest problems of life. When you've had a son who struggled with mental illness for 27 years, all the positive thinking in the world is worthless. Well, just feel better. Put a smile on your face. Think good thoughts. Believe. Have fun. No. You need something far deeper than that. In the deepest, darkest days of life, you need a bedrock trust in God's grace, in God's love, in God's power, in God's sovereignty, in God's plan. And you have to encourage yourself in the Lord, because nobody else can give you that encouragement. Number four, the fourth thing David did, I expect God to help me for his glory. I expect God to help me for his glory. This is what David did. This is what you must do in going after your dream. It is the faith factor. I love what David says to Goliath as he runs onto the battlefield. David runs onto the battlefield shouting, and he says this. David shouted to Goliath, "You come at me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty. And today the Lord will conquer you." Not me. The Lord will conquer you. "And the whole world will know that there is a God. And everyone will know that the Lord doesn't need weapons to rescue his people. It is his battle, not ours." Are you fighting God's battle and that's why you're tired? "It is his battle, not ours. And the Lord will give you to us." What are you expecting God to do in your life? Without even knowing you, I can tell you this, God is doing exactly what you expect him to do. No more and no less. Because every time God moves out of heaven and moves on earth and does a miracle, it's because somebody believed. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. According to your faith, it will be done to you. You get to choose how much God does in your life. It's based on how much you choose to trust him. I don't have to be the smartest person in life. I don't have to be the best looking person in life. I don't have to be the wealthiest person in life. I have a choice to trust God. And you do too. Whatever is not of faith is sin. He said, I expect God to help me for his glory. I made this decision when I was a young man. And in the mountains of Northern California, one night I got down on my knees. And as a young man, I said, God, I'm not the smartest guy. I'm not the most educated, and I'm not the best looking, and I'm not the most talented. But God, by your grace, I'm going to trust you. And I don't have to know or understand why you tell me to do what you want me to do. But I will do anything, anytime, anywhere, in faith, even when it doesn't make sense to me. And what an adventure my life has been. I would have never imagined as a teenager that one day I would stand and speak to a crowd like this, much less to all of our campuses around the world. Because this group right here is about five times bigger than the town I grew up in. I'm a country boy with a slingshot. And God says, I will use anybody who will trust me and say, I expect God to use me, not because of who I am, but for his glory, that God knows and the world knows that there is a God. I'll never forget. Looking into my wife's eyes, many years ago, as we were finishing up school in Texas, and I said, Kay, I think God has given me a dream, and it is to be a pastor. And I think we're supposed to go to Southern California, to a place we've never been, and start a church with no money, no members, no building, no support. And I've never been a senior pastor. And I said, what do you think about that dream? And she looked into my eyes and she says, it scares me to death. But I believe in God. And I believe in you. So let's go. Let's go for it. Now, I've often thought, how would history be different if my wife had said no? If she'd been afraid and scared and said, let's don't do it. There would be no Saddleback Church. There would be no purpose-driven life. There would be no movement of churches in 160 nations. There would be no peace plan. Thousands of people that are going to heaven now would not be headed to heaven. You have no idea how much your unbelief could be limiting somebody you love. Is your unbelief limiting your wife? Is your unbelief limiting your husband? Is your unbelief limiting your child? Don't be Jesse. Don't hold them back when God has a great dream for their life. It's not your dream for them. It's God's dream for them. And you need to say, I'm not going to let anybody else's unbelief hold me back, and I'm not going to let my unbelief hold anybody else back. Let's bow for prayer. There are a lot of things in your life you don't have control over. You didn't choose your natural talent. You didn't choose when you would be born, where you would be born. You didn't choose your race. You didn't choose your gender. You didn't choose your talent. But you do get to choose how much you're going to trust God. And it is that faith factor that will defeat the giants of delay and discouragement and disapproval and doubt. And if you will say yes to God, He will take you on the adventure of your life. It doesn't really matter what's happened in your life. If you say, I want the rest of my life, no matter how many years I've got, to be God's 100%. I want you to pray this prayer. Dear God, you have helped me many times in the past. You've helped me through things I thought I'd never get out of, but you did help me. And if you've helped me in the past, I know you're going to help me in the future. Help me to remember that and draw my confidence from that. Even when people discourage me or disapprove of me, or even when people misunderstand me, help me to use the tools that you've given me now, to not wait for a perfect time and a perfect place and a perfect tool, but to use the slingshot and the stones that I have right now. Help me not to wear somebody else's armor, but to just go in your strength. And Lord, help me to ignore the dream busters. And help me to start every day with a time alone with you so that I will encourage myself in the Lord. That I don't need the encouragement of other people because I'm encouraging myself in the Lord and spending time with you. Help me to expect you to help me, not for my glory, but for yours, that the whole world will know that there is a God, and that everyone will know that the Lord doesn't need weapons to rescue his people. Lord, I've been tired because I've been trying to fight battles as if they're mine. It's your battle. I want to relax and trust you to give me the victory. Jesus Christ, I invite you into every room in my life. The living room, the bedroom, the bathroom, the kitchen. I want you to run every area of my life. I want you to be the manager and the Lord from this day forward. And I thank you in advance that the giants will fall and the dream will come true. And I pray this in your name. Amen.
Hey, if you've just prayed along with Rick to accept Jesus in your life, Rick would love to hear from you. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. And now, here's Rick with an important message.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. You know, my hope is that God uses this broadcast to help deepen your relationship with Jesus. Now, these Daily Hope messages are distributed on radio stations and digital platforms all across the globe. And listeners are writing and letting us know that their lives are being changed. They're telling us that they're walking with Jesus and that guilt and fear has been chased from their lives by God's love. You know, relationships are being restored and marriages are being healed. And many people are saying that they found their life purpose. I want to say thank you to you because we're only able to carry the hope of Jesus to these people all around the world because of gifts from generous listeners like you. I just wanted to say, I am so grateful for your prayers and your financial support. Now, I understand in times like these, many of you are unable to give financial support. Hear it from me. That's okay. Because I never want anybody to give unless God leads them to give. That's between you and God, not between you and me, but between you and God. And your prayers are a continual and incredible contribution to this Daily Hope ministry. Now, if you do want to give a financial gift, I've got some really great news to share with you. There's a generous friend of Daily Hope broadcast who is offering to match the amount of your gift. In other words, if you give $20, then that person has combined it with a grant to make your gift $40. Now, if you've never given a gift to Daily Hope, I want you to pray about partnering with us so that together we can continue to share the hope of Jesus throughout the whole world. I love you so much.
You know, when you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And right now, your gift will be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. So please go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, go to PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Well, today is the last day to have your gift doubled by the matching grant. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.